U.S.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. I am not James Edwards. Sorry to disappoint. However, we will do our best to bring to you the political cesspool absolutely on target all the time, doing our very best to break down the issues of the day in a context with a moral framework, in a way that other folks don't have the guts to talk about, to bring up, to focus on. James Edwards spending some needed time with his wife and family. He will be, of course, back live and in fine form next week. In the meantime, though, Sam Bushman with you live, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be in control all 3 hours. I'll just be here to kind of make sure that we go in and out of the breaks okay, and I'll be the first guest the first hour. Eddie Miller will run the program all 3 hours long. Second and third hours, guests to be announced soon. And just to make things clear, the Bombardier hasn't been on the radio with James for quite some time. He's been running marathons. He's been doing some other things. James has been on the road quite a bit, and some other folks have chimed in. We were in D.C. just a couple of weeks ago and more. The Trump saga, presidency continues to unfold. All that's happening. But because Eddie the Bombardier Miller hasn't been able to be on the radio for quite some time, we wanted to give him all 3 hours to rock and roll. Eddie?
Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Sam, it couldn't be a better night. I couldn't have a better buddy to work with. I will second James Edwards when he says that no one works together better than you and I do. I think we're like a nitro and glycerin, my brother. You know, like I told James, I said, are you sure you want me and Sam on together, man? Because we'll bust the muzzle, snap the chains, and smash the cage, fella.
Well, what you normally have is you have the Bombardier loading up, you know, dropping bombs everywhere. And then Sam Bushman, the machine gunner, just rocket fires right behind, right?
You got that right. You know, Sam, you said one thing in your opening statement that's oh so true. We do it in a moral context. I think we always have the moral high ground. Now we get rowdy, friend, but you're so right. We always try to have the moral high ground. And I think we do.
And it's not that we specifically spend our time making that the effort. That just comes out because of who we are. We're Christians, we're family men, we're brothers in freedom. And because of those things, it comes natural to us. That's what we do. That's who we are. And so I bring that up because it's not something that we make a point of, but it is something that is it's native to who we are. It's natural to what we are. We're Americans. We're red-blooded white Americans. We believe in God, family, and country, and that's just who we are. That's who our ancestors were, and that's who our children will become. Thank the heavens.
And you're so right, Sam. Thank the heavens. And the statement you just made, that's what drives our enemies crazy all the more, because the moral high ground just comes naturally with us. It's in our genes. It's in our love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's just who we are. Well, you know what, Sam? I'm preaching to the preacher, but you know what? This last week, I was telling James, I've had these projects I've been wanting to do forever. Keith wanted to do some stuff. We can never get anything done because the news, every week, Sam, the news just boils over. There's just been so much stuff about Trump this past week. It's had my blood boiling. Sam, I'm going to run something by you. I guess the number one point we would bring up tonight about the latest news is what went on in Berkeley. I mean, you know, Sam, I live through.
All right, before we go on with what went on in Berkeley in terms of breaking it down, summarize for everyone exactly what happened, because a lot of people don't really realize the whole story. They just see a little blip here, a little blip there, or a liberal slant on what they say happened. Lay out exactly what happened first, will you?
Okay. What happened was they had this fellow by the name, his name was Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yiannopoulos, yep.
That's right. He was a big-time a verbal, vocal Trump supporter. He's a representative out of Breitbart, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he's a writer for Breitbart. He's a white advocate, if you will. He is a gay man. He makes no bones about that. He promotes that big time. He calls himself a faggot, et cetera, et cetera. Not normally a word that I would use, but I'm paraphrasing what he calls himself. And he uses that combination of a conservative, a white guy, and a gay man or a faggot, what he would say, all together to make his play of who he is in the media. And he doesn't hold any punches when it comes to over the edge or in your face material to advocate for any of those causes, Trump being a focus of that. He loves Trump. He calls Trump his papa. Trump doesn't really give the love back, except for Trump did defend Milo, as do I, and as should you, in terms of he was going to go speak at UC Berkeley. And it was a free speech opportunity. He was going to, talk, and they invited him. It was all good. Then the meltdown occurred. Now, I don't agree with the lifestyle choices that Yiannopoulos makes. I don't agree with Milo's stance on a lot of things. For example, I don't seek for the limelight. I don't push edgy on purpose to gain fame and notoriety. He does. However, regardless of our differences of opinion on many things, the fact is I'll defend his free speech rights all day long. And that's what we should do. And the fact is what happened is these liberal wackos went ballistic. They created a big old massive riot. People got hurt. They canceled Milo Yiannopoulos' speech and just flat out shut it down. Trump is now mad at UC Berkeley and threatens to pull funding. And he says, hey, and this is why I say Trump hasn't really given Milo much love, except for, in this case, he says, look, if you're not going to peacefully respect people's speech, we're pulling funding. So he tweeted out and said, should we pull funding here? So the battle's on to the highest office of the land, Eddie.
You know, and Sam, this particular incident illustrates these people are such hypocrites. Here they have one of their own. They have a out of the closet homosexual who lets everybody he know that he is a homosexual. And see, here's the thing. Trump's supposed to be the big homophobe. See, he's supposed to, people like you and me, Sam, we're supposed to be the big homophobe. Well, here we are sticking up for this man's right of free speech. I thought we still had the First Amendment. You know, I thought universities like Berkeley, I thought they were supposed to be, strong houses of free speech. That's what a university is supposed to be. And here they are out there. They're the homophobes, if anybody's a homophobe, and we're supposed to be the intolerant ones, and we're supposed to be violent and hate-mongering. Sam, I saw on the TV, they were throwing firebombs. They were setting cars on fire. They were busting ATM machines. And, Sam, the best of my knowledge, only one of those people was arrested. I mean, can you imagine what would happen if it had been a big religious group out there doing something like that, protesting a gay lesbian get-together? All hell would have broke loose. They would have been using pepper spray and tear gas. The police would have been busting skulls.
You're right about that. And Milo points out something very interesting, Eddie Miller, about that and the priorities of classes in America. And he talks about how he breaches those classes in many ways, but yet one class, pardon the phrase, trumps another. James Edwards at the Republican National Convention interviewed Milo. We ought to play that back. Hold on. Sam and Eddie on your radio, filling in for James Edwards on The Political Cesspool. It's going to get lively. Hang tight, folks.
My sister was smoking, and I watched her. She asked me if I wanted some, and I said, sure. And she taught me how to smoke, and that was my first experience.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
Both my parents smoke. I mean, seeing them smoke, watching them, thinking, well, I do it, it's not going to hurt me.
Smoking sends mixed messages to your children.
They just recently found out. I just told my mom, so she was shocked, very shocked.
I think parents have a big influence on whether or not their children smoke. Because even if the parent says that they don't agree with it, it really doesn't hold a lot of water. I mean, you can say, I don't agree with you smoking, but when you light up 5 minutes later, it doesn't hold a lot of water.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, the Bombardier Miller filling in for James Edwards. He's got me, Sam Bushman, yours truly, if you will, as a guest. But we're talking about Trump and what's happened in the last week and more. What's happening at UC Berkeley. Milo Yiannopoulos was going to speak. They rioted. They abused people. It was hostile. They eventually canceled Milo's speech. Now, thank heavens for Matt Felak, because Matt, the copperhead, we were at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, and Matt runs down Milo, grabs him, and sets up an interview with James Edwards and Milo live at the Republican National Convention. And we've got that audio for you. Let's listen to this really quick, because it's so apropos for today. It's amazing. I mentioned that Milo refers to the different classes of citizens, if you will. You got the gay class, you got the, you know, colored class, you got the white class, you got the, and all these different classes have kind of a hierarchy. Milo refers to that. Here's the interview, then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead. All right, folks, you just never know who you're going to run into at the Republican National Convention here in Cleveland. And
weren't you lucky?
Yeah. Milo Yiannopoulos, he is a certified thought criminal today, being banned from Twitter as the assault on freedom of speech and oppression continues. Your reaction to having the guillotine fall upon your head?
Well, most people think I'm going to be upset at having my Twitter account taken away. They don't realize it's the best thing that could possibly happen. They've turned me into a superstar. They've turned me into a free speech martyr. And what have I lost? Nothing.
Martyrs do get further.
No, I'm serious.
The unafflicted.
I didn't even have to lose an arm or lose a head. I mean, it's great. I mean, I'm thinking of the famous martyrs from history. They all had to die. What did I lose? A social media account. This is wonderful. No, look, I've known this was coming for a long time. They waited until I got into a little spat with somebody because she's a black woman. You know, that they know that the liberal press are going to stick up for them.
You cannot criticize or have a difference of opinion with a minority, or you become obviously a white supremacist, a bigot,
yeah,
a zealot.
But you know, no single report has mentioned the fact that I'm a fag. No single report has been like, this is like gay man against black woman. Like, who knows who the top minority is? I'll tell you, I'm oppressed. I demand to have restitution. No, I mean, it's silly, right? But no, none of the reports mention that, of course, because that doesn't fit the narrative. You don't want to paint me as a victim, because then things get difficult. Then the left has to start choosing between, is it going to be black women or gays? Is it going to be Muslims or gays? Is it going to be Hispanics or blacks? This is what the left has done to us. They've split us all into these little warring minority factions.
The standing on the diversity totem pole can be adjusted according to the dictates of political correctness.
It seems like white gay men are now just as privileged as you guys.
All right, let me ask you this. Would you consider yourself to be a part, either implicitly or explicitly, of what has emerged and become colloquially known as the alt-right?
No, I'm the first and I think still the only journalist to give them a fair hearing in the media. I wrote a long profile, which you can read at Breitbart, called An Establishment Conservative's Guide to the Alt-Right, which I think is probably the fairest assessment of the general contours of that movement. Other people have just been anxious to call it racist, sexist, you know, white supremacist. I don't think that tells even remotely the whole story. So I've given them a fair hearing. I know a couple of the people in the movement. I don't describe myself as alt-right, no.
Do you think there is legitimacy there and that they should be giving, by the media at large, the hearing that you've given them, and that it should be a conversation had by the general public?
No, I want other journalists to continue to not do their jobs properly, because it just makes more readers for me. Why would I want Vox and BuzzFeed and Gawker and Mike to start reporting accurately? That's why I'm so popular, because they're useless at their jobs. No, I want them to continue to be dumb as ditch water. Like, I want them to continue to be stupid. I want them to continue to have their entire stated purpose in life to be calling people names rather than reporting the facts, because the longer they do that, the better things are for me.
Why are you here for Donald Trump?
I love Donald Trump. He is clear. It's a very obvious why a gay person would like Trump. He's like the drag queen you can vote for. You know, he's wonderful. He's over the top and mischievous and larger than life and ridiculous. But also, he's going to do good things for America. The wall, trade, these are good things for real America, if you like. But from my point of view, somebody who, you know, likes to push the boundaries of what is thought and said, likes to be mischievous and naughty, the threat that Donald Trump represents to political correctness is thrilling. He is going to smash it, and they are terrified of him, which is why they're coming for his lieutenants, deputies, and fans.
There's no doubt that we have the issue of making America great again as one with which we have a firm area of agreement. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Almost, ladies and gentlemen, a prophetic statement by Milo. He said he's going to kill it, he's going to smash it, and they're terrified of him. And they're going to attack all of his people. That's what they're doing right now. He hit it on so many levels, it's surprising, Miller. You there, Eddie? Sorry, go ahead. Start over. I didn't have the right knob up. You're up, sir.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay, excuse me. My fault. I couldn't hear all the interview clearly, but I think I heard enough. Yeah, you know, he made some great comments. It's almost like you said before you played the tape. There is a hierarchy in the world as far as race goes, and I'm just wondering, who trumps who? Do Jews trump blacks? Do blacks? Evidently, the blacks trump the homosexuals. He pointed that out himself.
Well, hold on. Hold on. The blacks out trump the homosexuals only if the homosexuals are supposedly conservative like Milo. See, if Milo was a liberal gay, then he might not trump a black person. I mean, he might trump a black person in that case. So, see, conservatism takes away, or whiteness, if you will, being white takes away everything that Milo's got. Being gay is just like, oh, you're an embarrassment to us. Kind of an idea, right?
You know, in a question I'd like to ask these so-called liberals, what is your constitution? What do you mean by liberal? For instance, a liberal is supposed to be pro-gay, pro-lesbian, pro-black. Well, here you have an admitted homosexual that's supposed to be one of the planks, you know, one of the of their constitution. Yet they're attacking him. So
yeah, but see, the problem is he's white. The problem is he stands for liberal or conservative views for the most part. The problem is he doesn't stand inside and defend the status quo. He rejects it. He's provocative in his attack of the status quo. He likes Trump. So he's got a lot wrong with him. See, he needs to back Hillary Clinton, a lesbian. He needs to promote his gayness. He needs to be liberal. He needs to defend the inside journalists, not attack the journalists. See, if he was a black woman lesbian, now he might get somewhere. He'd have three markers that put him at the top of the list. See what I'm saying?
So I see. And so, Sam, in other words, you know, rule of law means nothing to these people. You know, the Constitution means nothing to these people. The only, right and wrong, righteousness, nothing.
And the proof is in the pudding is the abusive way they dealt with Yiannopoulos, the hostile way they dealt with the riots and everything else. Now they're literally when Donald Trump puts together a ban on Muslims in certain countries because he says, hey, we got to figure out a way to vet these people. We can't let terrorists come into the country. This is not a permanent ban, but it's a ban until we get a handle on this. Now they're all literally attacking and literally performing civil disobedience at the highest levels of our government. The rule of law means nothing to these people.
Zero. In fact, they said I've heard several of these very visible, high ranking people, the stars, say we're going to shut the government down. You know, I'll tell you what, that's getting dangerous. You know, what scares me, Sam, is like I said earlier, I lived through the Vietnam War protests. And we had them, and some of them got pretty violent and out of hand. But Sam, they weren't as widespread then. The protest and the violence was not as widespread, and it was not as vicious as it now. These people are out, and they're coming out and saying, "We want to kill you." I think it was Madonna who said that. Well, I want to blow up the White House. You know, and these same people, these so-called liberals, like I said earlier, they accuse us of being intolerant, of being violent, and yet. Look at what they just got through doing. You could not be more violent than that. And here's what I say, Sam, where I'm always about solutions. Not only did I live through the Vietnam War, I lived through the little bit of that deal. Federal troops coming into Little Rock. Oh, here I hear the music, Sam. I guess we'll have to come back after the music, fella.
And you got it, Bombardier, back in seconds. This is the Political Cesspool. We are breaking down Trump's last week and more. We'll talk about the Supreme Court. We got a bunch of other tidbits to chat about as well. You are listening to the Political Cesspool. We're filling in for James Edwards.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Professor Dan Farber, who teaches constitutional and environmental law at the University of California, Berkeley, is an unabashed progressive and was a fervent supporter of Merrick Garland's nomination to the Supreme Court, and he is opposed to liberal efforts to filibuster the nomination of Neil Gorsuch to fill the High Court's vacant seat. He also perceives Gorsuch to be a principled, intelligent jurist, despite substantial disagreements with him on matters of policy. I had never heard of Gorsuch until I read and blogged about one of his opinions that came down in July 2015, recalls Professor Farber. The case involved a challenge to a Colorado law mandating that utilities get at least 20% of their electricity from renewable energy sources. Gorsuch wrote a clear, persuasive opinion in favor of upholding the renewable energy law. What I have read about his other opinions and what I have heard from colleagues who knew him at earlier points in his life reinforces my view that he is a thoughtful, principled judge, albeit one who is more conservative than I would like. While Farber agrees with liberals who believe Garland is somehow entitled to a seat on the Supreme Court, he advises them that blocking a nominee for a year when you have a majority of the Senate is one thing. Blocking any appointment for 4 years when you're in the minority is much less feasible and more damaging to the court. Just as importantly, he emphasizes, the key thing about Gorsuch from my point of view is that he's principled, and he seems to have enough backbone to stand up to Trump. We could use that on the court. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to libertynewsdaily.com. For libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to toqonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's toqonline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards. As far as I understand, he's at a special concert with his wife. He'll give you an update on that next week. He will be in studio live. We're talking about President Donald Trump. And we're talking about incredible civil disobedience going on at the highest levels of government. They're flat out just ignoring the Donald. They're trying to overturn him at every turn. They're hostile. They're in your face. It reminds Bombardier of the protests at Vietnam times. But you know what? This is way worse. They're literally openly threatening to kill Donald Trump. Madonna said she wanted to blow up the White House. There's literally hundreds and thousands of tweets proposing the same thing. There's articles written about possibly assassinating President Trump. I find, and this is why I started out with, we stand for the moral high ground. This is absolutely unacceptable. I don't care who the president is. I don't care if you agree with this person or not, being president or not. You never advocate for such hostility and satanic agendas, Bombardier. Never.
Exactly, and that's exactly what it is, Sam. They want to rip this nation apart. Before we go to the next item that you and I are going to discuss, I want to point out, yes, I lived through those protests, but they were not nearly as vicious as they are now. And here's how they have to respond. The Donald is going to have to get tough. Before the break, I talked about how I lived through Little Rock. When the federal troops came into Little Rock, federal troops came to Oxford, Mississippi. They were sent to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They were sent to Kent State, the home of Nick Saban, Coach Nick Saban of Alabama, went to Kent State. National Guard troops opened fire at Kent State and killed the protesters there. I don't agree. That's sad. Look what they did to Chinese, did it to Tiananmen Square. What I'm saying is that Donald, Sam, if you agree with me, he's going to have to go out there and make an example out of these anarchists, and he's going to have to, if he has to send troops in, he's going to have to, they're going to have to bust some heads. They're going to have to jail some people, and they're going to have to give some people some trials and sentence them to some to the maximum penalty the law allows. They're going to have to make an example out of these people, because if they don't, if the Donald lets this continue on, Sam, I'm afraid it's going to get worse. These clowns, they're going to see it's like a spoiled child or a spoiled dog. They're going to push you as far as they can. They're going to see just how far they can push you, and they will push the country all the way until it's ripped apart. So he's going to have to make an example out of these people using the maximum force of the rule of law. And if it comes to the National Guard troops, then it's been done before. What do you think about that, Sam?
I think you're right. That needs to happen, but I think he needs to do it with finesse. He needs to do it with great care to clearly identify who the provocateurs are, to clearly have a soft hand on the public at large. And what I mean by that is there needs to be a very surgical, strategic, hardcore crackdown. And I'll explain what I mean in a minute. But if we don't do that, see, what they want to do is they want to trap Donald and say, see, you're like a dictator. You have a heavy hand. You're a thug. You need to be impeached. That's what they want to happen. They want him to crack down really hard. And that's why I say if we work on a very surgical, strategic crackdown, look, the cause of this civil unrest in America, the cause of this unacceptable, over-the-top civil disobedience, the cause of people attacking the police, of harming innocent victims, of this hostility that's happening here, is really backed by, I'm going to call them provocateur financiers, okay? I'm hesitating.
George Soros is the world.
Yes, and I'm hesitating because I want to get the wording correct. What they are is they're provocateur financiers. Absolutely. And these George Soroses, and I believe the Clintons are involved there too, and the Obamas are involved there too, the Nancy Pelosi's, there's a lot of these high-level
Bernie Sanders
insiders, Bernie Sanders, which we'll get to in a second, and they're funding and organizing this agenda. And how I know is they don't, when was the last time you saw someone go, you know what, I'm going to go to the airport en masse and protest. Okay, it just doesn't happen. And if it did happen, people would get shut down so fast that it'd make your head spin. Okay, I'm telling you that this is one, intentional, two, organized, three, funded, and four, somebody in high levels of government are saying, keep your hands off and let this prosper, or it wouldn't be happening all over the country. And we've documented over and over and over buses of people coming in, paid provocateurs, professional agitators, etc. And it's all funded. He needs to surgically crack down on that group hard to stop them. And I'm telling you, the rest of the folks will go home. Now, they've whipped people up into a frenzy, but they wouldn't be there unless they had organizers, leaders, and funding. And that's where the strategic, surgical crackdown needs to happen, Eddie.
Sam, I have a slightly different take. You say we need to identify them. We need to identify the age of provocateurs. They've identified themselves. Anybody out there at Berkeley throwing a firebomb is pretty much, you know, we know they're the age of provocateurs.
Well, oftentimes, though, the people throwing the firebombs are whipped up into a frenzy, fueled up with alcohol and drugs and whatever else. And maybe they're doing it. They shouldn't be doing it, and they ought to be accountable for their actions, no question. But they may not be the mastermind funders and agitators behind it. We need to be very careful because they're pretty smart at what they do. They want the low-level, you know, not very smart guy to go to jail and babble about hate and this and that and that and that, because then it fuels the fire. The real agitators are smart enough not to commit the crime. And I'll give you an example. Back in the day, Martin Luther King would come and speak. And Martin Luther King Jr. is a thug, too. But when he'd come and speak, it was very polite and peaceful, and I have a dream and everything else. But the second he left, then the agitators, paid people that would go along with him, would whip the crowd up into a frenzy. And every time after Martin Luther King left, I shouldn't say every time, most times, you would have violence and all kinds of ne'er-do-wells just raging in the streets. And that's what's happening here. The agitators themselves, the paid professionals, know enough not to get caught. They talk peacefully in the day and unleash the troops at night. They do it every time.
Well, Sam, you know, me and Lancia talked about this about a month ago. You're right there, but see, we know. But these people, they have to see, Sam, when they break a law, may justice be done, though the heavens fall. They need to crack down those suckers. And we know, if you and I know that the George Soros, the Clintons are behind it, you know the Donald can find out. It'd be an easy matter. All you got to do is go and look at the financial records, the bank records, who's getting these clowns getting paid. You can put them and interrogate them in the police stations. And I'd say, go after the Soroses. Go after Clinton. You know, the Donald said he was going to jail Hillary anyway, and that's one promise he's backed off of. I think he made a mistake by not putting her in jail. You have, Sam, these people do not understand gentleness. They understand power. They understand brute, raw, merciless force. That's the only thing they understand. It's going to have to be done. And when they see enough people being bashed in the head on the streets legally, you've got to fight fire with fire. When you jail them and give them the maximum penalty, and that's what's going to stop. It's going to be an example.
There's no doubt we need to, whenever somebody breaks the law, they need to be accountable. So I'm not suggesting they don't. I'm just saying most people in the streets, though, aren't doing those things. They're just there. And you got to make sure that you don't get the people that mean well and are peacefully protesting caught up in the snare, too. You got to strategically, surgically understand who's who. And you got to stop the leadership and the organization and the funding. The rest will go home and go away, I promise.
Well, sure. These people, like this woman up there, these people that they're barricading, making barricades and stopping peaceful, stopping people from coming into the university and giving their speeches, interrupting the normal rule of law, interrupting normal procedure at university, they need to be dealt with. They're breaking not only university policy, they're breaking every kind of law you can imagine. They need to be dealt with. And it's, like I say, Sam, everybody knows who the money bags are. We know who's financing this. George Soros should have been arrested years ago. Going all the way back to World War II, what he did to his own Jewish people. I don't know if that's kind of off another topic, but, you know, he made his first small fortune by putting the finger, you know, he's Jewish. Everybody knows he's an atheist Jew. He made his first small fortune leading the Nazi stormtroopers to the Jewish houses, identifying who the Jews were. The Nazis would arrest the people, you know, take their bank accounts, take their houses, their furniture, et cetera. And George Soros would get his cut out of it. And not only that, he brags on it. Well, he's doing the same thing here, only in a different way. We know he's doing it. Why he hasn't been arrested already? I'll never know, Sam. But this, I tell you what, I'm for coming down hard with the rule of law. You don't see.
I agree with that.
Going on in North Korea, you don't see it going on in Cuba. They, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a communist, but I mean, they know how to deal with it. That we cannot let this continue on. We can't let these clowns get out of hand.
You're right, and we've got to crack down on it. And what we've got to do is make sure that it doesn't turn into a civil war due to ignorance on who's who and what's what. We got to clearly identify that we are the law and order people, and that we're not going to tolerate. You can protest, but you can't commit civil disobedience when there's violence and the destruction of property. We will not let you do it, and we will also not let these provocateur financiers and professionals run around the country and agitate and create crises all across the land. We will not tolerate it. I agree 1,000%. Now, we also need to talk about, before the end of the hour, this new Supreme Court justice that Donald picked. Do you know much about him?
Okay. Hey, let me mention Bernie Sanders right quick, like we have time.
All right, we'll come right back. We'll do Bernie Sanders, and we'll finish up on talking about this new Supreme Court pick. We'll do it in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Bernie Sanders, man, what a piece of work. All I'm telling you is, wow. All right, Eddie the Bombardier Miller going to drop some more bombs in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards, like, all, you know, dressed up going to a nice concert with his wife. And the Bombardier's dropping bombs. And I'm trying to keep a handle on everything, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for hanging tight. Back in seconds.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, these people that want to destroy America, man, what a piece of work. There's so many of them, it's beyond comprehension. They have plenty of money, and they're evil as all get out. Eddie?
You got that right. You know, and Bernie Sanders is one of the most evil. You know, Sam, I see where he spoke recently, maybe yesterday, at the Sisters Giant Conference on Politics of Love. I mean, about a 90% group of women, a group composed mostly of women. He talks about the Donald. He said the Donald, if he's a maniac, he's going to plunge the nation into war. Well, then he said that Donald is a demagogue, and he needs to cultivate the hatred against immigrants, against blacks, against Jews, against Latinos, the same thing we always hear. And, you know, he said that demagogues need war. Well, I'd like to remind the Bernie that World War One started under a Democrat, Wilson. World War Two, a Democrat, FDR. Korea, a Democrat, Truman. Vietnam, a Democrat, LBJ. Need I say more? I mean,
what? Didn't we have a war start under Clinton, too?
Yes, we did.
Just want to kind of make sure.
Yes, sir. Most certainly. And he bombed. You know, he bombed in Kosovo and Serbia. He bombed the Christians under Clinton. He turned them into the Stone Age, just about. But, you know, a demagogue. Bernie Sanders going to talk about a demagogue? I mean, that's all he's been doing. He talked about Clinton. He calls him a homophobe, a warmonger, an anti-Semite. And you know, Bernie Sanders is the ultimate demagogue. Lord have mercy. I mean, we couldn't, you know, you couldn't expect any better out of Bernie Sanders. But I thought we'd close out on that.
Yeah, you're right about that. So there's been a lot of negative. There's been a lot of violence. There's been a lot of hate by the, you know, the liberals, the communists, the Democrats, the all wrapped up into one. But Donald has done a lot right. He's been president for 2 weeks, basically. And he's rolled out several executive orders. Normally, I'm not a fan of executive orders, but to roll back a lot of what Barack intentionally did to destroy the country, I agree it's got to be done quickly and reversed. But he literally said, hey, every regulation you pass, you got to get rid of two. He literally is starting to defund abortions around the world through the Mexico policy. Anyway, he's doing a lot of good. He tried to stop people from coming to America illegally. So that we can at least stop terrorists and ne'er-do-wells, people who would do harm to us. He appointed a Supreme Court justice that a lot of conservatives really like by the name of Neil Gorsuch. I think Neil's going to do a very good job. He's pro-life.
I agree with you.
I don't think he's perfect. I think he'll do a lot of what the executive branch wants, which may be a concern. Maybe somebody who has a little bit more congressional experience like a Mike Lee would be good. Nevertheless, I do believe Gorsuch is a great pick. Donald has been keeping a lot of his promises. A lot of people thought he'd get in office and not keep his promises. But many of the promises he's really advocated for, he's already kept, Eddie.
Yes, he has. Did you see, you know, I was talking to James about this the other day. You know, he has a retired Marine Corps general, General Kelly. What is he, head of the Homeland Security? And one of these clown reporters was talking about the building the wall in Mexico, how cruel it was. He said, well, fella, he said, any time there's a new power transition in D.C., when the old president goes out, a new president comes in, there's always going to be discontent as well as, you know, utopia. He said, there's always going to be protests. He said, but the wall is going to be built. And never mind the funds, we've got the funds figured out. He said, and the wall is going to be built in 2 years. So that's one huge promise that the Donald made, that, you know, that one of the planks of his platform that he ran on. And, you know, not only that, you know, hey, did you see where?
Yeah, by the way, it's DHS Chief John Kelly, just so everybody knows who we're talking about.
Okay, yep. Marine Corps General, son, you don't fool around with four-star Marine Corps generals, I'm here to tell you. I see where the Associated Press, I was looking, I think just this morning, Sam, coming out of Washington, D.C., said Donald Trump, this man, I feel like joining you up again. He says that he called the Mexican president in Mexico, and there's some disagreements over this, but here's what I think the scoop is. He made a phone call to the president of Mexico, Enrique Pena Nieto, and he told him, I'm going to try to paraphrase
it. It's Nieto, right?
Bad dudes down there on the border causing, our American citizens a lot of trouble. He says, and you haven't done anything about it. He says, and he told him, he said, I think your military is afraid of them. He said, but our military is not afraid. And he said, I might just send them down there to straighten out them old boys. Now, I'll tell you what, that man, I tell you what, we hadn't had a president like that since Andrew.
Yeah, and they tried to twist that against Donald and say that Donald Trump was being unfair or unkind to the Mexicans or whatever else, and that's not at all what happened. He basically said, look, we got to stop the strong men, the drugs, the cartels, the men full of Mexican machismo. We've got to stop that. There's some strong hombres down there that your government, your people, your military are afraid of. We'll go ahead and help you get that fixed. And instead of them explaining it as a national security and trying to make Mexico great again as well. No one wants these ne'er-do-wells running around, these cartels, these drug kingpins, these purveyors of illegality and terrorism, etc. And so this was not an attack on Mexico. In fact, it was to give this guy some strength and some backbone as a real man. And it needed to be done. And the bottom line is it's being twisted. But don't worry, John Kelly said the wall will be built within 2 years.
You know, Sam, I'm glad you mentioned that. Donald, he's not doing that. You're absolutely right. To punish Mexico, to be a strong arm against Mexico. Did you know the Mexican citizens, the peaceful Mexican citizens down there, they have lost more people to the drug cartel, the drug wars, than they're losing in Iraq and Afghanistan, man. I mean, they're probably at almost a high rate as we lost in Vietnam. There's been thousands of people down there murdered and butchered and mutilated by these Mexican, drug gangs, these thugs in the drug gangs down there. And, you know, the violence is coming across into the United States, which takes me back in history. If anybody knows their history, you know, Black Jack Pershing first made one of his big names, but going across the border, running people like Pancho Villa and Emiliano Francisco Zapata, the bad boys, bandidos in their days, they were coming over, these bandidos were coming over the Mexican border into the United States and raiding the border towns. Well, Black Jack went down there and straightened that out. Well, you know, it looks to me like the Donald, man, he's hearkening back to Black Jack Pershing, man.
Well, and he says he wants to make Mexico great again as well. If you listen to one of his speeches when he came back from Mexico when he was running in the election times, he said he wanted to make Mexico great again, too. So this is not a hostile, hate-filled message of white supremacy or racism or anything else. This is a reality check. Look, when are the liberals going to say, look, we've got to stop the bad guys? When are they going to just agree on that? I don't care if the bad guys are drug runners, the bad guys are terrorists, the bad guys are in a war in Iraq, or Iraq for that matter. When are we going to just put the foot down and say, look, we've all got to unite against the bad guys here?
Yeah, you know, and the so-called bad guys, our left-wing wackos, the Bernie Sanders of our country, they identify with the bad guys. They are the bad guys. They are the reprobates. You know, we're the good guys. Donald's the good guy. But, you know, a reprobate, is the way it was explained to me, there's someone who they love evil. You know, we think seeing a lady get raped is bad. You know, well, they see it. That's not so bad. You know, we see the homosexuals trying to recruit, you know, 6 to 7 and 8 year olds into their nest. Well, we see that as perverse, and they say, no, that's the right. It's the right of a homosexual, a grown homosexual man, to try to prey on, you know, on pedophiles, prey upon kids. But we just look at it totally different. I mean, Trump could walk on water, man, and they would still criticize him, but. Another point, Sam, did you see where Donald, they said it was an about face, he's supposed to be this big pro-Israel, Israel first and the United States last, but no, I see where Donald Trump, he kind of warned Israel to stop announcing new settlements in the West Bank. He said that if Israel keeps going in and building homes in disputed territory, that it's going to upset his peace plans. Well, one thing about Trump, you know, Sam, there's not going to be peace, I don't think, in Israel over there in the Middle East in our time ever. The only way you'd ever have peace over there, you would have to just get rid of Israel because, you know, and the Donald's right there. I may be off track here, but Israel is an outlaw state. You know, they shouldn't be. They went in there in 1947 and 1948. These Israelites from all over the world going into Palestinian territories where Palestinians had lived for centuries, and it'd be kind of like the hated Russians, like our left wing wackos now. They hate Russia so bad. We know why, because the Russians kicked the Jewish oligarchy out. But it'd be like the Russians or the Red Chinese coming in. Let's say Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Alabama. And saying, okay, we're going to push you folks out of this part of the South, and we're going to put a new nation here. You know, we're going to call it Oceania, and it belongs to us because we say it does, because it was given to us by God Almighty. That's the same thing. But I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that Trump is that's a good thing. You know, I don't think he's going to be a lackey, going to be a puppet of the Israel and Netanyahu. What do you think about this, Sam?
I think for the most part you're right. I like to have the great General George Washington mentality around the world that, you know what, we don't need to get in the middle of all these sovereign nations. We don't need to play the world's cop. What we need to do is avoid foreign entanglements like the plague. We need to be kind to everybody. We need to have diplomatic relations with everybody. We need to be very careful. And we don't need to pick sides and reward people. We just need to simply mind our own business and do our own thing. And if you threaten us, trust you, me, it will not be pleasant for you. But yet we're the nicest people on the planet. And by the way, if you want to have one of the best economies in the world and have one of the freest nations in the world, we got an export called the Constitution that you're free to use as well. We need to have that mentality, Eddie.
Amen. Say, hey, let me say this for the music before we come to the music. And to second that, we already have, I forgot who it was, a couple of congressmen putting forth a bill. They're trying to get us out of the United Nations, get us out of NATO, get the United Nations out of, get them the hell out of the United States. So, well, I hear the music. Guess we'll have to go and try to cram that in.
Quick pause. Eddie's got incredible guests coming up.